one of our new listeners has asked about, apparently a long time ago, we said we would do a Bob and Doug McKenzie impression contest between you and I.
Oh, really?
And we never did it, maybe?
I thought we were just going to air like audio of Bob and Doug themselves.
Oh,
no?
It could be,
I don't
it
could know. Be a this is probably going back like, what, a year and a half or something?
Yeah,
I can't remember what happened last week or what I ate for breakfast.
I can't remember how I got into this room right now.
See what I mean? So I don't know what we said ever.
No, I hear you. But evidently we said that. And so I said we would give it a try this week. So
wow. So thanks for the heads up.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
I don't have a clue.
You're not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe, are you?
No, I want to hear what you've got to say.
I'm not doing it.
No. I'll do my homework this week and I'll listen to some clips so that I can come back with, you know, something reasonable.
Really?
Yeah, no, that's the way I do it.
All right, well, that's it. Next week, then, we'll do that.
Next week, Bob and Doug off.
Hello, everybody. Just a quick note before we get going on the show. For quite some time, a lot of you have been asking how you could help out and support the show. And we very much appreciate it, but now there is a way. If you go to our website at twohosers.com, on the right-hand side, you're going to see links to Amazon. So it's one for the U.S. store, one for the Canadian store, and pretty soon there'll be one for the German store. All you have to do is, if you're going to buy something on Amazon, click on our site first, click through that link, and go ahead and make your purchase as is. The price is the same, the vendor's the same, the entire experience is the same, just one extra click, go through our site, we see a little bit of that money, and that's what's going to help help keep us going. So if you like what you listen to, please tell your friends about the show, and please tell them about our Amazon link. So I normally will talk about this during the show, and I meant to this week, but I forgot. So there's that. So next week we'll talk about it a little bit more and explain in a little more detail if you need some. And until then, check us out, twohosers.com. Enjoy the show. Hello and welcome to episode 118 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Tübingen, Germany. And with me, as always, is
Adam in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
What is going on, Adam?
Not a whole lot, Al. It's kind of come down time from the Easter long weekend where life returns to normal. Kids go back to school. Weather goes from being unbelievably amazing for the entire Easter weekend to back to a little bit of the Vancouver rain. So you're probably happy to hear that.
I don't. Well, the Germans, if only the Germans had a word for Schadenfreude, I'd be able to explain it better. But no, I don't take pleasure in your pain.
Okay.
However, the weather here has been ridiculous.
In a bad way.
In a horrible way. It has been the worst and longest winter in the history of... Okay, well, a lot of people have it worse than us, but I'm kind of a whiner.
Right.
But it has been ridiculous. It will not let up. I think today it's supposed to get up to zero or something.
Oh, awesome. It's going to warm up.
Yeah, and we're not recording this in December.
Right.
Like, this is April. This is the first week of April. And I don't need it to be 25 degrees, but 9 degrees would be nice.
Right.
And it's this nonstop wind. So anyways, this is going to be the next half hour. I have about a half hour on this.
I kind of wish I hadn't asked.
Oh,
did I ask? Did I even ask?
I don't care. I'm going to pretend you did.
Okay.
Yeah, they're going to film the sequel to Never Cry Wolf over here.
Okay.
I mean, I just happened to see that movie this week, and turns out it was a good movie, bad joke. Yeah.
Great.
Or maybe you didn't get it. I don't know.
I don't know. I've stopped listening when you started whining.
All right. Did you get the Two Hosers 100 wallpaper?
I did.
Yeah.
Awesome. Like, is there a wallpaper maker, or did you somehow just do that?
Probably both. I don't know if there's one. I just did that.
So, like, just give me a ballpark in terms of your effort level there. Is that easy to do?
It is not. It's not difficult. but it could be easier, put it that way.
Okay. Okay, forget I asked.
Yeah, don't even ask. Let's go back to the weather.
Okay.
Yeah, it's still cold.
Okay. It looks good. How about that? It looks good.
Yeah, I meant to do this like 3 months ago when we did our 100th.
Right.
But then my life got in the way.
You should have just done a 125 wallpaper.
It didn't make a perfect square.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I could do a 625.
Okay.
Yeah. I could do, well, no, I mean, really, we could have, after episode 121, we could have done it.
What about if you could turn that into like some 3D image of some sort? You know how they have those, you know?
It's like, yeah, a picture
of Yoda from like the fourth Star Wars.
Oh, no, it's a picture of me winking. Did you see it? No, I thought of that. I don't know. I kind of like the fact that like all the colors look nice and shiny.
Yeah, no, it is cool.
So I posted that on our Facebook, by the way.
Great.
And I will post it on the show, the show notes for this week as well. So people can have a look at it if they want.
I'm going to get a giant poster made of that and put it on the ceiling.
I thought about that, but yeah, not the ceiling. That's weird. So there's that. Hey, I meant to mention last week when we had Neil on the show, but I didn't because we, you know, kind of sped things up and talked to him a lot.
Right, yeah.
Have you ever been to London?
No.
I recommend it. If anyone
London, Ontario?
Yeah, that's the same.
Okay.
Yeah, it's the same. They probably have the same Indian food there.
Okay.
I don't know. That's, I say that because every time I go to London, which has been a couple times in my life, but I always go to find some cool Indian restaurant. So
great.
There's that. Yeah, that's just how it goes. Anyways, I had a lot of fun. I really really love being in London.
But you've been there before.
I've been there before. Not for a while, though, not for like 5 years. But something about the subway there, like the tube, it's just awesome. Like it's the most, it is like you can get anywhere you want to go. Just blam. It's just that simple. So I highly recommend it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Point taken.
Yeah. Point taken. Write it down.
Yeah.
So when you come over and do your European vacation.
Right.
When you come over to see us.
Right.
We'll stop by London.
No, that's great. I'm put it on the list.
Or ditch the kids and we'll go.
Okay. That sounds better.
She doesn't need to see Big Ben. You think Sarah would give a care about Big Ben?
No, although she has said that she wants to go to Paris. I don't know. It must have come off of some television show or something. I don't know.
Oh, I've heard it from other kids her age. Same thing.
Yeah.
So it must be some sort of a princess Beauty and the Beast thing?
I don't know, but she says she wants to go see Paris. And she does have a t-shirt with the Eiffel Tower and, you know, something else girly on there.
All right, you know what's in your future?
What?
Vegas.
Yeah, there you go.
It's there you the go,
same.
Sweetie.
It's hey, the look, same.
New York. Is there a London casino? I don't think so.
I don't think so. No.
Just when you pull in, everyone all of a sudden drives on the other side of the road. Whoa! Hey. That'd be awesome. So there's that. Another random question for you.
Okay.
And this, you may not have an answer to this, but let's say like you go to some sort of shops or stores or like a bakery or something like that. Do you frequent some, I'm guessing.
Bakeries?
Or whatever, like a bakery or a, I don't know, adult video store or whatever it is that you do.
Okay.
Do those even exist? I don't know.
I'm not sure where you're going here.
I'm saying like if you, like maybe a bakery, call it a bakery. Let's say you go there like, I don't know, once a week or whatever.
Okay.
But you get to know the person who works there.
Oh, okay. I see where you're going. Yep.
Yeah. I wasn't going anywhere nefarious.
Okay.
So let's say you frequent the place and so you know them and then they're very friendly and then you're actually friendly back for a change and and they're really nice and they like your kid and they always give your kid like free stuff when they come in.
Right.
And then at what point do you have to ask them, hey, what's your name?
Ah, yeah, that's. I don't think you ever do,
but I'd like to know.
Yeah,
I think it would be nice. I think in an effort of me being less of a jerk to people, I would make an effort. There's a couple of different people around here where I'm like their best. Like they see me in the street when they're not working, they'll wave to me.
Right.
And so now I have to say, they don't know my name, so it's fair.
Right. I think you're okay there. I don't think you need to know names to be polite to people.
Mm-hmm. But let's say I want to know their name in an effort to just be a nice guy. Not just to be a nice guy, but just out of curiosity. Hey, what's your name?
You could probably ask someone else without, you know, asking them straight to their face.
Huh. Unless his name is Mr. Pretzel.
Right.
And then I've gotten it right all along.
Right. Yeah. Right. You could wait for someone else to be at that store and ask them.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty... I would have to camp out there.
Oh, nobody else works in the location?
Oh, fair enough. I ask them. I see what you're saying. I think you meant wait till another customer accidentally asks.
No. I just mean like someone else who works at the establishment.
Yeah. Okay, I could do that.
There you go. Problem solved. That's what I do. Solve problems.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't think that's good advice.
Okay.
And one more thing before we go on. It was about last week's show.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Oh, what are we talking about?
I think you're going to talk about how Neil Van Niekerk hated your photo and loved mine. Is that what you're going to talk about?
Oh, no. He emailed me and then asked if he could have a print of mine. For his studio.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
if he had permission to use it as his own.
No. That would be weird. I don't want to accuse him of anything. No. He said he felt bad for you. And so prior to the show, we had agreed upon that he'd make you feel better about yourself.
Right. Okay. All right. That makes sense. Now it all makes sense.
Yeah. Wow. I didn't want to bring it up, but you were a little cavalier with that, so...
what were you really going to say?
Well, we had a question on our one of our sites about something. Should I go look for it? I'll look for it.
Oh, I do want to say that I know I probably have a little bit of a persona of someone who doesn't necessarily follow through on everything. I don't know where that came from, but I did, like I said on the show with Neil, I did order his book. I ordered it last week and haven't actually got it yet. I was hoping it would come in the mail today because Friday is a good mail day, but I did order the latest book, the Quality of Light one, the most recent one. So
nice.
I will let you know when I receive it and what my review is.
I look forward to it. I'm guessing what the review is going to be because I do have his first book and I like it.
Okay.
So I do recommend it. No, we had a question about can you show an example of with or without the black foamy thing? I have to admit it looks a little odd. Wondering if it's worth the effort. And that's Andrew posted that.
It's a huge amount of effort involved.
Well, that's the thing is it isn't. You're right. That's the joke. I understand.
Yeah.
The fact is that on a scale of 1 to 10, the effort is around 1, and I'm rounding up.
Right. I agree. Yeah.
The return on investment is at least a 7, but normally a 9.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it's more effort to turn my flash on than it is to put the black foamy thing on.
Right. It like to make it and put it on. Like I know some people go, crazy with the Velcro and stuff and that's a one-off investment time-wise. Like that takes you, probably 30 minutes by the time you put everything away, I suppose.
Yeah, you're really slow.
But that's no. My wife likes that we keep our scissors in a different town. So I have to walk it over to the neighboring village. I don't know why. It's a safety thing.
Okay.
And guess what? I would run, but with scissors. Anyways, so like let's say start to finish, cleanup time and everything. Let's say it's 30 minutes. I doubt it's that much. That's the most time you're going to spend. After that, it's mere seconds to put it on.
Right.
And in terms of looking goofy, I disagree. I it's one of those things that, for whatever reason, some people might get a smile out of it, which, okay, great. Now you have someone smiling. Take your picture.
Right.
So that's one thing. Like, that's one positive. They're already smiling. But generally, you look like an absolute pro doing this, I find. Because people look at that and go, like, I don't know what that is. I could never do that with my point and shoot. My iPhone does not have that feature. This guy knows, hey, everybody, that guy knows what he's doing.
Yes.
Everybody follow that guy.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
So, in terms of return on investment, it is very high. If you don't believe me, don't use one.
Yeah, or try it and prove it to yourself.
Yes. But the answer is no, I'm not going to post a before and after with or without. Because there are certain situations where you probably won't notice, actually.
I'm pretty sure that somebody's already done it, too. If you Google search black foamy thing, you will see examples of exactly that.
You know what? Neil has the Flickr site where people comment. I'll bet you
there's
on there.
There's a black foamy thing Facebook page, too, by the way.
Is there really?
Yeah. It's Neil's page, I think, because it's got all his stuff in there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a black foamy thing Facebook page. I came across it just doing exactly what I just advised others to do, which is just Google search black foamy thing. And this is where I saw lots of different examples, and everything came back pointing towards Neil. No matter what I looked at it under black foamy thing, definitely he's got the market locked on that term for sure.
Yes. So long answer. Yes, use one. They're
it's
awesome.
Good. It's good. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't. I mean, especially Adam. Adam is not burning any calories that are unnecessary. Like if you have Velcro attached to your wheelchair so that you can attach the black foamy thing.
Right. No. Right? You know, it's funny that you kind of bring that up because when
I meant to say scooter, not wheelchair.
Right. When you talk about effort level, I think my photo challenge this week will speak for itself in terms of the effort required in a black foamy thing photo. Now, I'm saying you can go the extra mile and you can put more effort into it. But I'll have a short example story of taking a photo with the black foamy thing.
All right, well, let's move forward so we can get to that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, it's a cliffhanger. Right.
Besides that, did you shoot anything interesting?
I shot some pictures in Easter because we had beautiful weather and we were in the interior of British Columbia visiting family. Uh-huh. So I took some outdoor, sunshiny, middle of the day, tons of sun, clear blue skies. So I took some photos in and around the in-laws' place of the kids doing various fun things, outdoor, sunny, fun things.
Something tells me that there will not be a chapter in Neil's new book that you bought saying, hey, shoot out in the middle of the day in the sunshine.
Probably not, but you still can, you have to sometimes, sacrifice. You always have to make a sacrifice, but you can still get good photos in the middle of the day. You look like, I think Amber's talked about looking for open shades. So there's one idea that you can use to get some of the sun directly off your subject. You can, use the high speed sync and just get a little flicker of light on them sometimes. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you can just blow out the background and get a photo exposed for the face and just blow it all out. And maybe you lose the blue sky, but you can still get a good shot. So there are options available.
Yes, there are options. You do have to, it's hard work.
It's way harder work. Absolutely.
Yeah. I like a nice cloudy day or certain, but yeah, you play the hand you're dealt sometimes. So you shot the Easter.
I shot the Easter, yeah.
Because I had some Easter. We shot Easter here as well, obviously.
Yeah.
Now that my kid is almost two, egg search is always infinitely harder to photograph.
Okay, because she's moving around.
Yeah, and she's difficult to anticipate because I don't think she knows where she's going next. And so how am I supposed to know?
Right, right.
Because I don't know how you do the Easter egg hunt photos, like what your expectations are or what your method is, but
very low, took very few photos of the actual hunting.
It's difficult to convey what's going on because my whole thing is I always try to anticipate the situation. So okay, what egg is she going to find next? But we also had friends come and stay with us who brought their kids who are 2.5 and 5. And so it's like, all right, I want to get a shot of my kid getting that egg, but will the 5-year-old grab it before then? It was some pretty heavy duty stuff going on.
Right. I mostly just use the iPad to shoot a little bit of video.
Uh huh.
That's it. The end.
Okay.
Oh, but I put it in the Dropbox for you. Did you see the? I wrote a song that Spence performed. Did you see the bunny hop?
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh God, it is fantastic.
Oh, I'm sure it is. But I got home late last night. We were out. There was some whiskey, and then woke up this morning. Did this doing the show.
I'm gonna have to get permission, but I'm pretty sure permission will be granted. But I will send it. Well, I think I've sent it to you, but we'll post it on the Two Hosers website.
Okay.
Because it is pure. It's a top 10 kids song of all time. I'm gonna put it out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, So you're like the Paul Anka of kids songs.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah. And the best part was, well, my kids have probably watched the video. They're in it, so. You know, kids like watching themselves. Yeah. I don't know if you figured that one out yet, but they like seeing themselves in movies. But my kids have watched the video of the Bunny Hop song. That's the name of the song. Sure. At least 30 times. And we've sent it to the other participants. And they also said their kids are not only watching the video, but singing the song.
Wow.
Yeah. So if that's any indication, I don't want to pump my tires too much, but top 10 children's song of all time.
This could go viral.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. That was interesting then.
Yeah.
When I said, did you shoot anything interesting? And you wrote a song. I wrote no songs.
Right.
But next week, I'm going to do I'll do some sort of a rap performance. It's like my kid finding Easter eggs to some sort of an Eminem ripoff.
Yeah. Well, I really just thought that it's one of the missing links in music. There isn't, you know, you've got all the Christmas music songs. Where's the fun little Easter song? Well, I created it.
That's a great idea.
Yeah.
You're going to have to check your contract too. Cause I get 60% of publishing rights. Everything okay. You do show related.
Right.
So woohoo for us.
Yeah.
All right. Eggs of Oku from last week.
Oh, right.
What did we shoot last week? Was the I did the one kid picking my daughter's nose.
Right.
And then you did the one of Jack staring at bugs at the ceiling.
That's right.
Yeah. Both very similar in focal length. I had a full frame camera and I shot mine with a 50mm lens.
Right.
And yours was a 30mm on a crop sensor.
Right. Proof again that you can shoot better photos sometimes on being an amateur and with a crop camera than the professional with his professional gear. Once again, proof of that.
Yep. Also, twice a day, a broken clock is correct. Yeah. Unless it's daylight savings and then not.
Right.
And then you might be, it's so. Okay. Challenge this week's challenge.
Right.
Black foamy thing.
Black foamy thing.
We've said that an awful lot these last two episodes, but the challenge was to go ahead and run with it. But it sounds like yours is going to be a much better story than mine.
Well, it's a good story in the sense that I woke up at 6:30 this morning, realized I didn't have a challenge photo. My daughter said she was agreeable to take a photo. And I went downstairs, 6:30, 7 a.m., just me and her. It was dark in downstairs. I flicked my camera on, put the flash on, put the black foamy thing on, did not pay attention at all to any of the settings on the camera or the fact that the flash was in manual mode, fired a shot way overexposed, flipped it over to ETTL. Mm-hmm. Second shot, bang, there it is. That's all. That's the end. That was what went into that photo. Looked at the chimp the LCD and went, yep, that's good. I'm going back upstairs.
There you go.
Yeah. So, and again, when I looked at the photo, I mean, I liked the photo. I was happy with it. I don't think that any more effort was required. It's just an example of the fact that the black foamy thing is very easy. And I was looking at the school photos for my daughter and I had them upstairs right next. So I was looking at side by side with the photo I just took and the school in the school photos that we got printed, which are on a very similar kind of blue background. I like this photo better, the one that I took with the black foamy thing, and it was done in 11 seconds.
The school one, they would have likely added a second light coming from her left side and filled in that whole side, and it would have been pretty flat.
Yes, absolutely.
They don't have the time to light, you know, 300 kids. It's sort of like, you know, an assembly line where they just blow them all through. It's got to be soft light moving on, right?
Yep.
But in this case, yeah, way better. No, it looks great. It looks it sounds very similar story to how much effort I put into mine. As a matter of fact,
okay,
I had some forethought into mine, but the absolute execution was probably If it took as long as yours, I'll be surprised.
Okay.
It was exactly that fast as well. But no, I like it. I think Sarah's getting good at posing too.
She is. Yeah.
She is. And so it's a great smile. I like that the head tilt, all of that. I think, you know, that really, really helps out with the picture.
Yeah.
But all in all, great. And again, without the black foamy thing, probably going to get some spill coming forward. We still get a nice picture, but not quite this nice.
Yeah. And so when we talk about the settings on the camera, yeah, just keep in mind that I flipped it on. There was no thought whatsoever into the camera settings. It was flip it on, take the shot, go back upstairs.
Okay, well, here are the settings. We'll give the eggs of Oku for yours. Okay. Except for the... I've just decided to leave off the ISO on this one. But you shot this with your full-frame camera, 6D. 85mm lens, f3.5 at 1/60th of a second.
Okay.
That's what you shot it at. So I'm telling you what you shot it at.
Great. Yeah, I did take a peek at it, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess those are fine.
Yeah, there we go. All right, it's in focus.
Yeah.
Let's move on.
Yeah.
Yeah, great. Great job.
Okay, well, what about yours?
Well, with mine, I did almost the same move, but I was on the way out the door and thought, oh, no, I need to take, like, a friend of my wife was over with their kid. And so I wanted to take a picture of someone who wasn't in my family, which sounds like a dig at you, but it's only a small dig at you, I think.
Okay.
And so I decided just to mix it up a little bit that I would take a picture of somebody else. And I knew they were leaving. I had to leave. So I had about 15 seconds to snap this. So I knew in my head what I wanted to do. I knew what it was going to look like. I knew I would take it and where I would take it. I wanted it to be kind of dark and really kind of, dark. I just said it. Why would I have to add to that? And so I killed the ambient in the room. I knew going in what my settings would be before I even had the, you know, ask the mom to take a picture. So I killed the ambient in the room, set up the black foamy thing, set the exposure compensation to -1, the flash exposure compensation.
Okay.
Because it shot on a full manual, the camera, but the ETTL was used, and so -1, fired away. And I think this is probably shot number 2, just like yourself, shot right. 2, moved on. That's it. There's nothing, I mean, the only thing that was a little bit of a challenge, and I did it on purpose, was I bounced off a purple wall. So the light took on a slightly different tone than a white wall would have.
Okay.
So that's the only difference here, and voila.
Okay. I don't have much to say. It's a nice photo. Again, a little dark, like you said, you intended it for it to be. So it definitely is a unique looking photo, and you would not look at this and think on camera flash. So again, the black foamy thing shows you that there's a range of things that you can do with it, and very, very easily and quickly.
Yep. That's the best part is the sheer speed, the alacrity. Huh?
Sure.
Okay. The speed that you can do things with here. And you could turn around and get an entirely different look, you know, in a couple of seconds by using this.
Well, and I wanted to say about my photo that my daughter is literally about an inch from a wall. Like, that's a blue wall she's up against.
Right.
And because of the black foamy thing and because of the fact that there is no spill, I can angle it in such a way that you don't get any shadow there, right, on the wall either. So, I don't think if I have that flash without the foamy thing that I can achieve that.
Would roughly how far away from the, like, you're bouncing it to your left,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, yeah, up and up. to my left, yeah, so to her right.
How far away are you two from that wall that you're bouncing off of?
How far? I don't understand the question exactly.
What's the distance? You're standing, like, the wall that you're bouncing off to your left?
Yeah.
How far away from that wall are you standing?
Maybe 4 or 5 feet.
4 or 5 feet. So that's enough that you're going to get a nice big source of light.
Right.
correct? I mean, if you're standing 1 foot, obviously the light hitting the wall is going to be much smaller. It's not going to spread out as much by the time it gets to that.
Right.
And so it creates that that also helps create that soft source.
Right.
And still, without the black foamy thing, you're going to get a lot of spill forward, and it's just going to ruin the shot. Not ruin, I would say, but it's not going to look like this. That's for sure. So, let's look at my Exifoku data and move on. I shot mine at a focal length of 135 millimeters, f/8, and a shutter speed of 1/200th. Now, what was the ISO on mine? The reason I picked f/8, by the way, is I knew there'd be no background. I knew it would blow out to black, or blow out, or just fall off to black. So I wasn't worried about depth of field. All I wanted to make sure was that the kid was in focus.
Right.
And because the room was pitch black, like I turned all the overhead lights off as well. I ended up focusing with the little infrared thing on the camera.
As did I.
Right. That's the focus assist, very, very helpful in this case. And at f/8, I was pretty sure I wasn't going to miss. So there you go.
Okay.
This week's topic is it's less of a hands-on technical and more of an idea.
Oh, fantastic. That's what I love.
I know
you love. Theoretical.
It's all theory. Yeah. It's get your pencils out. No, this one's important though. This one, okay. This is something I've been trying to. I've been thinking about for a long time and how to do it. And the idea is, it's sort of the art of subtraction.
Okay.
I don't think I need to say any more. All right.
All right. Good night, everybody.
Drive safe. No, it's when you think about taking a photograph, most times, and this is typical. This is how we think: is what am I going to take the picture of? What am I going to include in this photo?
Right.
What will my background be? And that's obviously a good place to start. But if we can think like a sculptor for a minute and start asking yourself, what can be removed to make this better?
Okay.
Think about, what is my photo not of? What is my background not? Sounds negative, actually, but that's what subtraction is.
It's pretty deep.
It is deep. Yeah, me and Nietzsche used to knock back a couple beers now and then.
Right.
I should have said Kierkegaard. That was funnier.
It's a better name, too.
Yeah. And I bet you he was probably more fun to hang with. And most, by that name, probably played in the NHL for a couple seasons.
Yeah, it's true. He probably did.
Played for the Nordiques back in the 70s. Played on a line with Wilf Paymont.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is not funny to anybody.
Yeah, not even Wilf Paymont. He's probably pissed. He's a big listener, by the way.
Yeah.
Sends a lot of emails.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why would you want to remove something?
Because it's distracting.
Distracting. That's the obvious one.
Yeah.
If something's distracting and just doesn't fit in.
Right.
Maybe it clashes. Maybe it's you know, a red jacket with a green car. I should have written down some examples.
All right.
Does red and green clash, right?
Yeah. Or it makes you think of Christmas.
That too. Yeah. There's that. Okay. Or whatever else clashes. I don't know. Orange and everything else, I suppose. But you want to just simplify the frame in order to bring attention to your subject.
I think that's excellent. That's a good point.
That's generally why you want to remove things. And then maybe you're creating confusion about what your subject is.
Right.
You know, is it the kid skateboarding, or is it the guy mowing his lawn? Who knows?
Right.
So let's figure that out. So where does one start? If we're going to start removing things consciously.
I usually would probably look at the background.
Wrong!
No.
No, just kidding. It's 100% right. Yeah.
Start at the background. Is there show notes?
No.
Okay.
Did you want some?
I don't know. You asked that question like maybe like in the olden days where there used to be show notes.
No. You're actually right. You're 100% right. Background is usually the culprit.
Right.
And I guess because we don't... It's probably the thing we consider the least. Like if we're doing like kind of running around snapping photos like of your kids doing Easter eggs, I mean, background takes a back seat to whatever's going on. But if we can think of it ahead of time and hopefully disinclude things, we're going to get better photos.
And I think that that's probably the biggest thing I notice when I look at, you know, pictures that I took, you know, 4 years ago. The one thing that always sticks out in those photos is usually just distracting backgrounds.
Mm-hmm. Now, how do we get rid of that? What are some different ways to get rid of bad backgrounds, distracting backgrounds?
That's kind of a question that I think, I mean, it depends on where you are, right? I don't think there's an easy way to answer that, but other than move them to a simpler location. Like if you're shooting in your house, rather than positioning them in front of a few laundry baskets and a bunch of toys, you know, move them to a cleaner, emptier space.
Mm-hmm. That's one way. The other way is you can move. I mean, sometimes you're taking candid photos or just sort of snapshots.
Right.
And you don't want to get involved. That means you have to do the moving.
Yeah.
Or turn around.
Or I guess shoot on a super, you know, shallow depth of field.
That's something else you can do. We can do that. We can blur the background out.
Right.
Now that means either with, you know, focal length or f-stop or a combination of the two. Is to just really kill it. Now that's what I end up doing sometimes where I think, you know what, like I don't think environment here doesn't matter. Not only does it not matter, it's not interesting.
Right.
And so I really want to kill the background. And so that's it. I'll shoot with a long lens and that's how it goes. If possible, if we're shooting with a flash or bounce or some other way we can control the light, you can also darken or lighten the background as you alluded to earlier in your Easter photos.
Right.
Just all right. Well, I guess that I'm going to let that background blow out. There's nothing wrong with that. I have no problem with letting a background blow out, especially if it's not interesting anyway.
Right.
Don't hold on to it. Why bother? So those are some ways to eliminate the background. Now, I tend to get as do you. I know full well that you do as well. But I get a very good response just from my friends in regards to my snapshots.
Okay.
Like if we go hang out with people and go, you know, hang out with their kids and stuff like that, and then I bring my camera and snap, you know, maybe 20 photos at a kid's birthday party or something. I always share those with my friends, of course, because they're right. In them.
Yeah.
And generally they ask for the files. Hey, can I have those files to print? Because I want to put it in my kid's photo album.
Right.
And it's really rare that doesn't happen. And so, you know, what is it that make my photos and your photos as well. I know that's how it goes with you.
Yeah.
What makes them better in their opinion, not in our opinion, in your friend's opinion? What makes them better?
They're probably in focus. I think that's probably the number one thing. I mean, yeah, I know what you're alluding to, but yeah. And OPS, they didn't have to carry a camera around and miss any of the action.
No, that's true.
Yeah, so there's a lot of reasons, but I get where you're going.
Oh, you know what other one, too, I never thought of? They're in them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's a lot of reasons that make them better, but I think one of the things is, you know, that, you know, you probably think the photos differently than they do, right? You think about, you know, what is the subject of the photo and about competing interests and about how to make a photo, even a snapshot, have the subject really pop out.
Absolutely. I mean, there are many factors. There are many factors. Like you said, the focus one's a big one. I hadn't thought of that when I wrote that down.
Oh, God, I can't believe when I look in albums, and not just others, of some of my own photos and albums that are like, oh, God, that's not even close.
What? Nothing is in focus.
Yeah, like, what is that? Yeah.
I would be okay if the background was in focus and the subject. Okay, I get it. I get the error here.
Yeah.
but nothing is in focus.
Yeah,
that happens. Yeah. My photos in general, even my snapshots, tend to be very, very simple.
Right.
And clear as to what the subject is. So, obviously, sometimes I leave room for interpretation, but that's all artsy stuff that we don't need to talk about right now.
Right.
What I like to do is I like to keep the viewer within a certain set of constraints about, you know, how to view the picture. Okay?
Okay.
So, the thing is, though, is I do my best to do that in camera when I'm shooting the photo.
Right. You don't want to have a whole bunch of editing to do after the fact.
I don't know how you feel about it, but I actually hate doing post-production work now.
Yeah, I do very, very little. Like, a photo that I bring into Photoshop is, like, I honestly, 1 in 500.
Oh, that's, yeah, I'll bet you that's conservative.
Yeah.
Because I'm on the same way. Aside from adding a watermark to our pictures for the two hosers, I do almost, I'm building 100 album covers.
Right.
Like that kind of work, like graphics work, that's the one thing. But in terms of tuning up my pictures, I do very little of my own personal work. Can't stand it.
Right. It's like you say, it's probably less than that. Like, yeah, the only time I did one recently was because I had a photo that I absolutely loved, and there was just something that was a small fix of a distraction where I just went into Photoshop and just wiped that distraction out, which took me all of 2 minutes. But my rule is, if it's going to take me more than 10 minutes in Photoshop, I'm not doing it.
Absolutely. Then get it right next time if you can. Sometimes you can't.
Exactly.
But so that's what I try to do. I try to get it right, and that means moving. That means when you're sitting at the table at the kid's birthday party and you're having coffee and cake, don't do what everybody else does and just there, my kid's doing something cute. I'll just kind of hold the camera off the side and snap the picture.
Right.
And I'm sure he's in it. Great. We documented the moment. Moving on. It does require a little effort to get up and move.
Right.
And as a physiotherapist, I think you can get behind that. That anyways.
I think that's somewhere along there is our motto.
Get up and move.
we'll move you, I think, is one of our slogans.
Is that right?
Yeah. So it's a theme in our profession. So.
Okay. There you go.
There you go.
So keep moving. We're going to change the title of this one to Keep Moving.
Okay.
But in reality, sometimes after our long tirade on don't do post-production, sometimes you just have to crop.
Right.
And that happens. And not every photo is a 3x2. It's just, that's how it goes. Sometimes they're square. But don't go too wild. That's my suggestion. Is try to, I don't crop very much.
Me either.
Like, it's very rare for me to crop more than one direction. Meaning I usually keep one of the sides. I usually keep.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So you can think about that, but let's say you're posing the subject. And now you have the background, you got the background nailed, it's simple, it's how you want it. Now it's time to consider the foreground.
Okay.
What doesn't need to be there?
Good question.
It's not a good, no, that's a rhetorical question. There's no answer to that. But here's the thing.
Can for a second, I interrupt you for a second. Can you hear my crying child on the microphone?
Yes.
Oh yeah. Should we include that in the audio, or should we just barrel through, or hoping that my wife is going to come and take care of her?
Oh no! Go in there and scream and yell at her and tell her that you're ruining Daddy's day. Yeah, Daddy drinks because you cry like this.
This is, you know, this is where I'm making a very conscious effort to choose podcasting over fathering.
Okay, you know what?
Oh, wait, I hear stairs, which could be my wife is coming to save the day. She is coming to save the day.
Ta-da.
Yeah, so we can keep barreling through. No edit required.
I think people will fast forward this part and just edit on their own.
Yeah, self-edit. Yeah.
It's funny you should bring that up, and this isn't even really part. This wasn't planned, but we're talking about editing right now. Is
can you, Elise? Can you just close that door? Can you close our door?
Yeah. No kidding, megaphone voice.
Did you hear that? She just chirped me for being a megaphone voice. No, that's called being... that's my radio voice.
It's projection, sweetie. Yeah. It's what keeps you in Bon Bons and Lululemon.
Right.
See-through.
Yeah.
That was a rip at Lululemon, not at your wife. So anyways, so now we have to decide what doesn't need to be there in your foreground.
Right.
Okay? We're talking about photo stuff.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if you got lost or not.
No. No, I'm
so
okay.
So here's the thing is, when you're deciding on what doesn't need to be there, if you're not sure, it doesn't need to be there.
Okay.
Edit and forget it. That's the motto you want to run with. That's my takeaway for this section.
Okay.
So perhaps is your subject sitting in a chair? If so, can it be a stool instead of a chair? If so, what about standing? Does it need to be? Maybe it needs to be sitting, and that's fine. There's no right answer to these. Maybe it needs to be a chair. But can you remove that? Are they sitting at the table? Can you just pull the chair back and have them be just at the chair, no table?
These are all good questions.
These are questions that you have to ask yourself when you're taking that picture. What doesn't need to be there?
Okay, and you know what? Again, this is one of those things that I never really thought about. And, you know, again, something that I do consciously think through. Every time I take a photo, I'm always thinking about, you know, what can I get out of here? How can I make the photo simpler?
Right. Now, the idea is after a few times of doing this, you won't think about it anymore. You'll just do it.
Okay.
That sounds like where you're at now.
Yes.
Think about your subject's clothing. If you're taking a picture of somebody, do they need to wear that hat? The glasses? A shirt and a sweater? Maybe it's cold. Maybe they have to wear it. Maybe it's part of who they are, but maybe not.
Right.
What about that logo on their shirt? Is it distracting? Clothing pattern, does it conflict with their environment, their background? So if you can't change it, shoot around it. And what that means, like, don't be afraid to move in and shoot close-ups based on that and get it out of the shot.
I think that's good advice.
Do they have props? I got more.
Okay, keep going.
Are the props essential? Do they need to have things? Maybe they do. Again, you're allowed to include things. I'm not taking, you know, go take a picture of a naked guy against a white wall. And if you do, don't bother sending that one in.
Right.
But pull out non-essential items. Don't worry about being genuine in this case. Now, the example I thought of for this one was, like, perhaps you're going to take a picture of a painter who is painting, like someone who's painting a portrait. And I don't know about this painter. Maybe they keep 12 brushes on their easel.
Okay.
But what if the photo is better with only one or two? Maybe it looks better. Pull those other 10 or 11.
Right.
Now, it might not be authentic to this situation, but it's reasonable. Like, you're not putting a roller in their hand. You're just simplifying it for the sake of the picture.
Okay, yeah. No, I'm right with you.
So, basically, like I said at the very beginning of this, think like a sculptor. Start with your image and then pull pieces away until you have exactly what you want. That's the art of subtraction.
That's the takeaway.
That's the takeaway. Pull it out. Great. So next week's challenge is going to be based around that. It's going to be, I don't know how to describe this. This is going to be more of an esoteric one where it's going to be subtraction. Next week's photo is subtraction.
Okay.
And don't get cute and draw a big minus sign because I don't want to see that.
Okay.
Yeah. I have no other explanation. I think you can run with it.
Okay, great. I know I'm ready. I'm gonna do exactly that.
Mm-hmm. Run?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Sweet.
To the next town to grab a pair of scissors, and I'll be back in 25.
We call that a callback. Wah wah wah. Adam, where can people find your stuff besides Facebook, of course?
They can find it at schwartzchronicles.com. My wife did a new post recently, so you can check that out.
Wonderful. And of course, Facebook, because I just saw you posted some things on our Facebook as well.
Yeah, I posted some of the Easter pictures in Vernon, and I probably will post the Bunny Hop song on Facebook as well, so probably do that shortly.
You're going to want to look at the copyright rules and make sure that you retain all copyright before you do that.
Yeah. No, it's I'm going to put it out there, because I think I'd be depriving the world of something great to worry about stuff like that.
Fair enough. Wow, that is selfless of you.
Yeah, that's kind of how I roll.
All right. Great. Then you can check my stuff out at alanattridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find everything about Google+, Facebook, the bunny video.
Yeah, the Bunny Hop song.
Right. The bunny... is that the name of it? The Bunny Hop song?
Yeah, that's the name. The Bunny Hop song.
Okay. That's probably a thing.
So when you hear, you know, Bono singing that in about 2 weeks, you know, I'm going to be fine with the fact that the world is just a better place with that song out there.
I'm going to go ahead and hold on to the publishing rights myself then.
Okay.
Because if it's a winner, that's how you get rich. Like,
all right.
I don't think Paul Anka has to worry too much about paying the rent.
Well, you listen to the song first, and then you decide.
Fair enough. I'll do that. So that's it. You can find that on the Two Hosers website, where to track that down. Right. And everything else you want to know, but that is it for this week. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.